Most Christians in the world do not know what the church is the way Jesus planned it. There are so many different ideas about the church that people have, completely contrary to what Jesus taught. And throughout the generations, as I've mentioned it again and again, God raises up different people to bring back to the minds of people what the true church is. Many people think the church is a place where we just invite people to go to heaven and escape hell. Now, I want to tell you that Jesus never invited people to go to heaven. And he never warned people. He didn't want to just say, I want to save you from going to hell. He came, as I've often said, to save us from sin. And if you have no desire to be saved from sin in your life, and if you ask me what a sin is, in the heart of every human being, there is something which no animal has, a conscience. And that conscience will tell you what sin is better than I can explain it. And that conscience will tell you every time you sin, even in your thoughts or your attitudes to somebody, that conscience will tell you when you're sinning. And Jesus came to save us from all sin, not in a moment, but little by little by little. Just like I've said, it's a marathon race. But Jesus has gone in front of us. He also was tempted exactly like us. That's one of the things you hear in this church. We have preached for the last 48 years, which you'll hardly ever hear in any other church in Bangalore. If you don't believe me, go and search other, find out that Jesus Christ came to earth exactly like us in a flesh without sin. But was tempted exactly like we are, but never sinned in 33 and a half years through the power of the Holy Spirit. And why did he not sin? Because every day of his earthly life, from morning till night, he took up the cross, which means he died to his own will every day. That's why he never sinned, so that he could do the will of his heavenly Father. Now, I don't mind repeating that 1,000 times because it is hardly preached in any other place. And that message, the word of the way of the cross, the way of death to self, is not proclaimed in 99% of churches. We thank God it is being proclaimed here. And many people say the way is wide open. Come, Jesus is inviting you all to come to heaven. I say the way is very narrow. Turn with me to John's Gospel and, sorry, Matthew's Gospel and chapter 7 and verse 13. Now, whenever you read a scripture, ask yourself, what is the context in which it is being spoken? That means, what are the verses that come before that? And the verses that come before that in chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7 is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It is in these chapters that he spoke against getting angry, verse 22. He spoke against chapter 5, 22. He spoke against lusting with the eyes, chapter 5, verse 28. He spoke against telling lies, verse 33. He spoke against hating people, even your enemies. He said, love your enemies, verse 43 onwards. He spoke against praying to get the approval of people and giving money in a way that you get approval from people in chapter 6, verse 1 to 13. And then he spoke about that you will not be forgiven by God in verse chapter 6, verse 15, if you don't forgive others. So very strong words. And then he said that you can't serve two masters, verse 24. This is one of the most difficult words. Matthew 6, 24. You got to either serve God or you got to serve money. You cannot love God and love money at the same time. You can use money. You can have plenty of money. But if you love money, you don't love God. You can be a poor man and hate God. Or you can be a rich man and hate God. At the same time, you can be a poor man and love God. Or you can be a rich man and love God. The question is not how much money you have in your bank account. The question is whether you love it. So, these are very strong words. And then he said, don't get worried, Matthew 6:25. And then he said in Matthew 6:33, seek God's kingdom first. Now, how many people do you think are doing that who call themselves Christians? Seeking God's kingdom first. So after saying, then he said in chapter 7, don't judge other people. Judge yourself. After you hear all this, you're tempted to, he's like that, she's like that. No. See whether you're referred to in these verses. And then he said, if you want this life, you cannot produce it yourself. Chapter 7, verse 7, ask. What should you ask for? Ask for the power of the Holy Spirit. And much more than a father would give good gifts. Chapter 7, verse 11, to his children, God will give the Holy Spirit and power. Having said that, you come to chapter 7, verse 13. The way of salvation is a very narrow gate. So narrow, you can't take your wife with you, you can't take your husband with you, you can't take your children with you. It's only one by one. Only one person at a time can go through. It's like some of these small gates they have at airports where there's a rod across. Only one person can go. And then the rod comes down again. And the next person can go. The way to life is very narrow. And then he said, listen to this. But the way to, and very few find it. In verse 14. There are very few who go to heaven. Do you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. Not many people are going to go into God's kingdom. The way to death is broad, that goes to destruction, and most people are going that way. I want to say to you, most Christians are going the broad way to destruction because their preachers have not preached the narrow way. It's not popular to preach the narrow way. It's much more popular to preach the broad way. Yes, come to Jesus. He'll bless you. He'll prosper you. He'll heal you. He'll give you everything you ask for. Come in, and multitudes come in. And they're going in the broad way. They don't know it's going to, they're not realizing it's going to destruction. Let me repeat one single command which shows how big this narrow is. How narrow this way is. Matthew 6 and verse 15. If you do not forgive others their sins when they sin against you, you will not be forgiven. Your father means you already became a child of God. God doesn't call everybody on the earth as his children. These are people who have become children of God. God is their father. And Jesus says, your father will not forgive you. Then what will happen to you? Your father doesn't forgive you. Nobody can go into heaven who's not forgiven. And why is this guy not forgiven? Because he would not forgive somebody else. Somebody who hurt you, somebody who harmed your family, somebody who cheated you, somebody who did something wrong to you years ago or yesterday. It doesn't matter when. If you do not forgive that person, I want to tell you, I don't want your blood on my hands. I'm telling you the truth. You will not be forgiven. You will not go into God's kingdom. I'm not trying to threaten you. I'm warning you. It's like you find in some electric city, big junction boxes, they say, warning, don't touch, danger. Or if there's a big cliff somewhere, danger, don't go near there. It's exactly the same way I'm saying. It is in love that those warning signs are put. So no, we don't want anybody to be electrocuted by electricity. We don't want anyone to fall over the cliff. All warning signs are put by people who love you to save you from falling over. And Jesus says, if you do not forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And I'll tell you, CFC is one of the very few churches, probably the only one in Bangalore, that preaches, if you do not forgive others, you will not enter into God's kingdom. The way to life is very narrow. Yeah, those are not my words. Those are the words Jesus said, and very, very few will find it. And the next warning he gave was Matthew 7, verse 15. After speaking about the broad way and the narrow way, the very next thing he says is, beware of false prophets. What is the meaning of that in his context? Beware of false prophets who will tell you the way is very wide that goes into heaven. That's the false prophet. They will come in sheep's clothing. That means they'll carry a Bible. They'll quote scripture. But they're ravenous wolves. Wolves, they want something from you. One mark of a false prophet is he'll ask you for your money. He'll say, I'm a servant of God. You must support a servant of God. Give me your money. You'll never find somebody in CFC church, this church, saying that. Because we don't want your money. We want to lead you into God's kingdom. Those who serve here, all these 48 years, including me, we've all denied ourselves, supported ourselves, never taken anybody's money. We don't touch one rupee from that offering box. That goes for God's work. It went to put up this building and to help many, many, many poor churches in other places to put up their buildings, to help numerous widows in many, many parts of South India. We give millions of rupees every year to those poor widows. You don't know that, but we do that. But we don't want any money ourselves because we want to preach the truth. And so we say, to warn all of you, beware of false prophets. You know, when Jesus spoke, he spoke in such a way that people would get offended with what he said. And if I preach like Jesus, people will get offended with what I say. Otherwise, I'm not preaching like Jesus. For example, let me show you Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. This is something we preached for 48 years. I remember way back in August 1975, when we started the first CFC church in my home, I preached on Luke 14, verse 25 to 35. It's one of the first sermons we preached. The conditions of being a disciple, because Jesus said, go and make disciples. And the number one condition is, it says here in verse 25, large crowds were going along with Jesus. Now today, when a large crowd comes to listen to a preacher, the preacher tells his assistants, take the offering bag, collect an offering before all these people go away. Then I will preach. Jesus never passed an offering bag. That's the difference between Jesus and today's preachers. We don't pass offering bags in this church. We preach the truth. And then Jesus says to this big crowd, oh, I'm so happy you all come to hear me. You think he speaks like that? That's today's preachers. You know what he told them? If you come here and you don't hate your father, mother, brother, sister, wife, and children, and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Imagine saying that to a big crowd. People would get offended. You know, there are websites, Christian churches have websites where they give you comments. And they say, put, like many other companies and all, give us how many stars, maximum 5 stars. How many stars do you give for our website and for our church? You know how many stars Jesus would have got? 0. You preach like this, how many people will give me 1 star? That's what we want in CFC. We want to preach in such a way, we're not interested in stars from human beings. We want Jesus to give us 5 stars, not all these people who come to our website and come here to listen to God's word and don't want to hear the truth. If anyone comes to me, Jesus said, Luke 14:26, and you don't hate your father, mother, brother, sister, wife, and children, you cannot be my disciple. There's no second class disciple. That means you must love Jesus more than all your family members. And I want to ask all of you sitting here, do you love Jesus Christ more than all your family members? Otherwise, you cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Number two condition, verse 27. Take up your cross every day. That means say no to yourself when you're tempted. That's the time you say yes to yourself. That's the time you go to die to your self-will. That's the meaning of take up the cross. When you're tempted to lust, when you're tempted to get angry, when you're tempted to sign a false statement, to make some money, when you're tempted to do something wrong, when you're tempted to shout back at somebody shouting at you, die. Otherwise, you can't be my disciple. You say, I don't have power. Ask God for the Holy Spirit. He'll give you power. Yeah, I prayed many years and I prayed and I said, Lord, I want to live this life. And there are others here who wanted to live this life and will come into this life. And then one more thing, verse three, third condition, verse 33. If you're attached to your possessions, you cannot be my disciple. I'm often used this example. Here's my possession. This pen represents all my earthly house, land, money, everything. Possessing means I hold on to it. It's mine. Nobody can take it. Jesus says, give it up. You can have it. The house is still in your name. The car is still in your name. But don't possess it as if it is yours. Say it is the Lord's. That's the meaning of giving up your possessions. You don't have to empty your bank account. You don't have to sell your car or your house. But don't possess it. Say, Lord, it is yours. I want to use my car, my house, my money for your glory. Otherwise, he says, you can't be my disciple. How many people do you think were left after listening to that? Let me show you another passage of scripture. John chapter 6. It says here that a large crowd followed Jesus Christ. John 6 and verse 2. Please, dear brothers and sisters, I'm saying this for your good. I'm not saying this to become popular. I have no interest in being popular. 48 years I preached not to be popular, but to lead people into God's kingdom, to preach the truth. John chapter 6, verse 2. A large crowd followed Jesus. And Jesus spoke to them some of the hardest words he's ever spoken to anyone. Let me see what he says. He says here in John chapter 6 and verse 54, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up in the last day. What did he mean by eating his flesh and drinking his blood? It was not cannibalism. He explained it later saying, the words that I speak to you are spirit. Verse 63. The words that I speak to you are spirit and life. John 6:63. He's not talking about this flesh. He says there's a spiritual meaning. He said, explained it there. When I say you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, that means you got to walk in the same way, putting the flesh to death. That's the meaning of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. The way he walked, I must walk. That's the spiritual meaning. And you know what happened? It says here, many people said in verse 60, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to this? They gave him zero stars, not one star or five stars, zero stars. Who can listen to this? What all they preach in CFC? This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? And then he said, the words that I've spoken to you, verse 63, are spirit and life. What happened? Chapter 6, verse 66. Listen to this. As a result of listening to this message, there was a huge crowd in the beginning, but most of them left it. Was Jesus the great person at drawing people to himself? No, he was a great person who drove people away. And if we preach the cross the way Jesus preached it, we will drive people away from CFC church. Some people are wondering, why, brother, why are you driving people away? Go and ask Jesus why he drove people away in John chapter 6, 66. He didn't want to deceive people. He didn't want to make people feel, yeah, everything's all right with you. He was interested in their eternal life. They're getting eternal life. And he said, the way is narrow. And that's what we preach in CFC, and that's what a lot of people get offended with. But we are not the first people, the first church with whom people are offended. Jesus, he had a church of 11 disciples. They were offended with him. And we are walking in their footsteps. The numbers will become thinner. I'm scared when I see big crowds in a church. I say, are these people all taking up the cross? And I see all of you sitting here. I wonder in my heart, are you all dying to yourself every day in your office, in your home? Are you seeking to love Jesus with all your heart? Are you absolutely upright in money matters? Are you careful about overcoming anger and sexual lust and all that? If not, why are you sitting here, brother, sister? You're wasting your time. You're not, you can deceive us, but you can't deceive the Lord. I urge you, I'm not asking you to go away, I'm asking you to repent. And if you have no interest in repentance, then I would urge you, go away, go somewhere else where you can sit and comfortably go to hell. But if you're serious about wanting to enter God's kingdom, let me tell you, these are the conditions. You have to turn from your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord of your life, of your family. If you say that's a hard saying, well, they said that to Jesus too. If you say very few people will come this way, Jesus said that. Very few people find the way to life. I showed you those verses. I've never in my life sought to be a popular preacher. Because I know, I'll tell you why I speak like this. One day, I will stand before my Lord, who commissioned me 57 years ago to serve him. And he's going to ask me, did you preach the truth? And all my sermon will be played in that final day of judgment. And the Lord will examine them. And the whole world will hear. And I will be either rewarded or punished by the Lord, by his standard. That is why, from the time I began to preach, I never bothered about what people thought about my preaching. I can honestly say, I love you all, my dear brothers and sisters, but I don't care one bit what you think about my preaching. I care very much what Jesus thinks about my preaching, and Jesus Christ is here, right now. Jesus said, two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. He's in our midst. When you sing those songs, were you singing them to him? Did you recognize he was here? When you talk to somebody, you look that side and talk to them? Or do you look at straight into that person's and talk to them? Today, when you sang songs to Jesus, were you looking at Jesus and talking to him? Or thinking about somebody else and singing a song? That's how many people sing. They have no awareness that Jesus Christ is in the midst of the church. They're not talking to him. They're just singing a song. It's like going to some worldly song festival. My brothers and sisters, we've got to repent. The next time you sing, sing to Jesus who's in the midst. And he's in our midst. Why do I speak like this? Because the Bible commands me in 2 Timothy in chapter 4. Now, I'm not going to take long today. I'm going to finish in a few minutes. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul, this is the last letter, the last chapter of the last letter that the apostle Paul wrote. And he wrote it to his faithful servant Timothy. And he's giving him a warning, telling him how to preach. That's where I learned how to preach. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 2. Let me read it to you from the Amplified Bible. Preach the word. 2 Timothy 4:2. Keep your sense of urgency. That means always ready for the coming of the Lord. And whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or not favorable. I'm reading from 2 Timothy 4:2 in the Amplified Version. Whether it is convenient for you or not convenient for you, preach. Whether people welcome your message or don't welcome your message, preach. Be a preacher of the word. Show people in what way their lives are wrong. These are not my words. This is what the Amplified, expanded version of 2 Timothy 4 2 is, show people where their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuke them, correct them, warn them, urge them, and also encourage them to enter into God's kingdom. And don't flag down, don't be unflagging, means don't slacken off, but be inexhaustible in patience. Even if they don't listen to you, be patient and teach and teach and teach. How many people are preaching like that today? Just one verse of scripture. Paul's last words to Timothy. Preach like this. You go to YouTube if you like. There are 2,000 sermons of mine there. Listen to all the other preachers and see if anybody preaches like this. That's the way you're supposed to preach. There are a few, praise God, there are a few here and there, but not many. Then he says, I'll tell you why I say this, Timothy, verse 3. Because the time is coming when people will not tolerate sound, healthy instruction. That time has already come. People don't want to listen to this. They get offended when they hear a message like this. But they will have ears. People in the last days will have ears that are always wanting to listen to something pleasing, something that is gratifying for them. And so they will gather themselves one teacher after another teacher, large number of teachers who will preach according to their own liking and allow them to live with the errors that they hold on to. And in the last days, verse 5, verse 4, they will turn aside from listening to the truth and wander off into all kinds of stories and man-made fiction, which is not the truth. But you, Timothy, verse 5, be calm and cool and steady. Suffer without hesitating every hardship and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill all the duties of your ministry. Because I'm already dying now, he says. I'm going to go and I've handed the ministry over to you. Thank God that in every generation since the Apostle Paul, somewhere on the earth, there have been people who proclaimed the truth fearlessly. Because they didn't want anybody's approval. They didn't want anybody's favor. They didn't want anybody's money. They didn't want to be popular. They wanted to be accepted and approved by God. That's what Paul told Timothy in chapter 2. Seek with all your heart to be approved by God and not by men. So, brothers and sisters, I encourage you, if you're not serious about your Christian life, seek to be serious today. This is the way I have sought to live every day in the last 48 years. We are celebrating the 48th anniversary of CFC, and I can stand before God and say, this is the way I've sought to live. This is the way I've sought to preach. If you heard me preach 48 years ago, it was exactly the same. And I've not changed, and I will not change as long as God gives me life. I will proclaim the truth. And I believe that in the day of judgment, those who have listened to me here, sitting here right now, in the day of judgment, you and I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And if you have responded to me, I tell you in Jesus' name, you will thank me that day. Thank you, Brother Zach, for speaking the truth and saving me from the deception that I had from so many other preachers. That's what I wait for. I don't want your approval today. In that day, I assure you, those who listen to me and respond will thank me. And the others who did not respond, oh, I feel sorry. And say, oh, I wish I had heard. I wish I had listened. I wish I had obeyed. I pray with all my heart that not one of you will be lost. Take it seriously. May God continue to speak to your heart. I'm only obeying 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2, which says, be urgent in your preaching, whether the opportunity is favorable or not favorable, whether it is convenient or not convenient, whether people welcome it or not welcome it. I'm just reading scripture, 2 Timothy 4 2 in the Amplified, and show people in what way their lives are wrong, convince them, rebuke them, correct them, warn them, urge them, and encourage them to turn to the Lord. And don't slacken off. Don't get exhausted. In patience, teach them. I sought to do that today. May God speak strongly to your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, Heavenly Father, I've tried my best. I pray the Holy Spirit will take these weak words of mine, which you have spoken to them, to every heart here, Lord. I don't want a single person here to be lost eternally. I want every person here to be delivered from all the false teachers who are leading them astray. I want them to come to the Word. I don't care if they listen to me. Let them go to your Word and read Scripture, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Luke chapter 14, and obey it. Even if they don't listen to me, Lord, let them go there and read your Word and obey it so that they can have great joy in eternity. Everyone here, Lord, I pray for. Have mercy on us all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening patiently. I pray that you will not forget. I pray that tonight when you go to bed, the Holy Spirit will remind you of what you heard so that you'll make a decision today to forgive everybody who has hurt you and to seek the Lord, to surrender your whole life to Christ. You young people, now is the time to surrender your life to Christ so that you can live for Him. God bless you. Amen.